olivan roots, long preserved for our walk in this world. They reside with God's own heart, O Lady, ancient virgin palm. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us go. In this world, wherever we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart, O Lady, ancient virgin palm. Holy words of our faith handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, hear the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart, O Lady, ancient virgin palm. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart, O Lady, ancient virgin. Ancient words, amen. Ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart, O Lady, ancient virgin. Once more, ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart, O Lady, ancient words in power.
Amen, amen. God bless your saints this evening. If the ancient words can just have the ancient purpose, all will be well. Let's open Acts 26. Let's read verse 19. Just one verse to get our thought. Acts 26, verse 19. Brother Jose was asking for prayer. He's gone to London. He'll be back on the weekend, so he was asking us to pray for him as well. Acts 26, verse 19. Just that one verse. We know it quite well. It's when Paul was before King Agrippa. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. It's an interesting thing. It shows that there's a possibility that you can be disobedient to the heavenly vision. Though the Lord may have a vision, as we saw last Wednesday, when Brother Biskel was showing about that brown bear vision, we've got a part that we have to play. We have to get ourselves in our position in order for that vision to be fulfilled. And Paul was saying, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. And I'm sure that should be your desire at the end of your course, just as much as me, is that we might be able to say the same, to say, oh Lord, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. So our thought this evening is perfect harmony. We just would like to speak about being in harmony with this vision. So it's perfect harmony. Let's pray. Father, thinking, Lord, upon this evening of Brother Jose in London, praying your grace upon him. Father, praying for them that are doing exams at this time, that you'd watch over them and keep them. Praying, Lord Jesus, for even the requests that has been brought for our sister, Lord, her family that are sick, Father, and different people at work, different places. But Father, we just have one desire. Each of us that have gathered in this house, we just want to enter into the vision upon this night. Father, to lay aside the carnal. Even as our brother preached to us on Sunday night at Brother Tommy's and was showing us, Lord, the humanistic level. And then to go up from there into the level of revelation. And then to go from there to the revelation of vision of thus saith the Lord. Father, we want to come up higher. So may you help us, Lord. Let this be a stepping stone this night as we look to you and ask for your blessing upon each person that has gathered in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we've taken our thought from this heavenly vision of Paul. We won't really speak much about Paul, but you'd like to speak about perfect harmony. This has been something which really has been so much my prayer, just on my own heart, just personally in my own life these last few weeks. I got it from that song Trinidad Sing. The believers, Ulrich Andrews wrote the song when he says, I want to go, send me Lord. He says, to walk with you in perfect harmony. You know, and there's so many things that want to take us out of harmony. There's so many things that want to pull us this way or that. We get involved in so many different things. But I think the only responsibility and the only thing that satisfies a believer is when your soul gets into harmony with the Lord and his purpose for your life. And I'd say that's all the Lord expects of us, is not to look at other people, not to worry about what other people do, what they say, what they think. But if my focus and your focus at this time in our lives could be just to make sure that my own soul, our individual souls, are in harmony with the vision. Because God has a vision for your life. God has a purpose for your life. God has thoughts for your life. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. That's the vision. And God's vision has never changed. Your vision is the commission. God has a commission for you, something that he wants you to do, a purpose that he wants you to fulfill, just as much as Paul knew that there was a vision, a heavenly vision he had received on the Damascus road that had given him his commission. And he was to take the name of Jesus to the Gentiles and to suffer many things for the sake of the Lord. And he was faithful to that vision. And out of all the people, I've said it many times, the person that one of the people apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he never got out of the vision. There were times where the vision was hard, like we know in Gethsemane and so forth. But Jesus was the only man, because he was the Word himself made flesh. He was the only one who never got out of the vision. But behind Jesus is Paul. There's so few places that you can find in the Bible from when Paul received the vision on the Damascus Road that he got out of the vision. You know, I can hardly find anything in the Bible where you can say at this point here, Paul made a mistake or Paul got out of line. There's so few places, and I really respect Paul so much for that, because he went through more than all the rest of the disciples put together. He says, in labors more abundantly, in fasting, in persecutions, peril amongst false brethren, shipwreck a day and a night on the deep, beaten with rods 3 times, beaten 39 stripes, and all the things he went through. But somehow that man, by the grace of God, kept going in obedience to the heavenly vision. Amen. That was a purpose he had in his life, was to fulfill this heavenly vision. And there were so many things he could have been distracted by. So many things he could have been disappointed by. So many things that could have caused his arms to go down and his heart to sink. But Paul, he kept going. There were great men. Jesus says, none greater up to that stage than John the Baptist. But he got out of the heavenly vision. When he was in the prison and he said to Jesus, he had lost the vision, John. Are you the one or should we look for another? You know, great men like that. But I really so respect Paul. But sometimes it's very interesting to look back at the lives, like the song says, footprints in the sands of time. These lives of these great men all remind us that we can make our lives sublime. And with parting leaves behind us, footprints in the sands of time. And some of the most helpful footprints in the sands of time are when some of these men of God got out of the vision. Because you'll find that as you study the lives of some of these great men, like you look at Abraham, you look at Brother Branham in our day, you look at these great dispensational prophets, Moses himself, you'll find that for them to get into perfect harmony with the purpose that God had for their lives, it was progressive. They never got straight into perfect harmony. There was like a process where they had to learn, like a child learning to walk. Now they had to go through this process and cycle, and many times they were pulled this way and they got off course this way and they kept on going. And then by the time they came to the end of their ministries, They came to the real capstone time of their ministries. They were walking in perfect harmony with the vision. They'd learned so many things through the things that they'd been through. But progressively, as time goes by, you see these people coming closer and closer into harmony with this purpose, this plan, whatever it was that God had for their lives, this vision, this commission that they were given. So I just want to show this evening, we want to look a bit at Abraham and we look at Brother Branham because there's such parallels. You know that Abraham, Branham, seven letters, all the different things. We know there's so many things in common with these men, but we'd like just to have a look at how they came into harmony with the heavenly vision in their lives, how they came into perfect harmony, and some of the things which they went through, and some of the dangers which will try to knock you off course to try to get you out of harmony with this heavenly vision. So we just want to look at a few of these principles. Now, the way I got this from was, you know, certain people were just asking about that brown bear vision. You know, so I thought to study on that first and then maybe to get to the cloud, but I never got to the cloud because I started off on this prophecy of this brown bear, and then that's where this thought came of being in harmony with the vision because the prophet got out of harmony with the vision. You know, so the prophet immediately after coming back, we saw it last Wednesday night, there was this vision that he was given that he was going to kill this great brown bear. And in this vision, there were certain people in the vision. Some young men that were supposed to be with him in the vision. Just as much as when he killed the caribou and he killed the grizzly bear, there were certain people. He saw a young man's hands and a tape measure and it's 42 inches. So we'll find out the first principle is that God has ordained certain people to be with you in the vision. While you fulfill the vision, there's certain people that God has ordained to be with you as you fulfill the vision. And there's certain people, and this is the greatest hindrance to us, we'll see like with Abraham, is many times you want to try to pull people along who aren't part of the vision. And when you try to pull these people along, or try to walk with people that are not part of the vision, we get ourselves in all kinds of trouble. And we'll see that with Abraham, and we'll see it also with Brother Branham, that this is where the problem came in. If you want to make your life as easy as possible, seek the grace of God to walk in harmony with those who are in harmony with the vision. That's an important principle. If we could just really, really walk together, and each of us as individuals here could be walking in harmony with the individual parts of the vision that we are to fulfill, what fellowship we'd have with one another. But where the problem comes in many times is, we'll see it with Abraham, we want to bring along our father, we want to bring along Lot, we want to bring all of these people that weren't in the vision. God never saw these people in the vision. But we want to pull them along. And that's where we find ourselves getting in trouble. But when we start now finding that God has placed certain people to be with us, to help to fulfill certain parts of the vision, how much we should appreciate people like that. Amen. So the prophet, he says, in the message countdown, he's just come back. This is September 1962. He's just come from this hunt with Brother Biskell. This is the quote Brother Biskell showed last Wednesday. And I just want to read it. Count on paragraph 11. He says, and I find out if God has spoken anything. So God speaks something. That's a vision now. A vision, an open vision is the word. Coming to a prophet, that's the word of the Lord. It says it in 1 Samuel. You'll find that principle in the Lord. There was no open vision in those days. There was no word of the Lord. So the prophet says, if God has spoken anything, then we must go with that word in order to make it be fulfilled. So in order for that, so the Lord might say, I'm the Lord that heals you. By his stripes I'm healed. The Lord gives the word. But we've got to enter into that and walk with that vision to see that word fulfilled. So we have our part. We're going to have to play it. The Lord can give the word, can give the vision. But if we don't get into that vision, we're not going to see that word fulfilled. That's the principle the prophet's trying to show here. He says, we've seen that. He says, as I told you last night of a vision just recently. That was this vision of the brown bear. He says, I had to be there. The vision couldn't be fulfilled until each of the people that are supposed to be in the vision are there and in their position. Then the vision can be fulfilled. He says, I had to be there and warning to be there. So the Lord warned him and says, you're not in your position. Get in your position. You're not in the right place. Because Brother Bam went hunting with Brother Bud. He's not supposed to be with Brother Bud. He's supposed to be with Brother Biskill, Brother Blaine Southwick, and Brother Billy Paul. Those were the three that were supposed to be with him to see the fulfillment of this vision. But the prophet's walking with a good man. I mean, Bud Southwick was a wonderful brother. But at that time, he wasn't supposed to be with that brother. That wasn't the fulfillment of the vision. He was supposed to be over here with these brothers. So the prophet, he finds himself in the wrong place at the right time. And so the vision doesn't get fulfilled. He says, I had to be there. And him telling me 6 months before to be on that spot. So in the vision, there was a particular place that he had to be. That spot with those people to see the fulfillment of that vision. He says, and standing there and saying, so the angel of the Lord was speaking to him, go down there. 3 times the prophet says, go down there with them. The angel kept telling the prophet while he's out hunting, go down there with them. But Brother Bud is saying, Brother Bram, let you and me go out hunting. And Brother Bram says, okay, Brother Bud, let me go with you. See how easy it is to get out of line with the vision. And the prophet says, and I just walked on with the other man. That was Brother Bud. And the vision passed right through exactly God's part. And I was left standing. So we want to remember, you've got to stay on the word. Stay right with the word. And where the word leads, you go right with the word. And that'll bring you out all right, I'm sure. So that's just the principle of where I've got this thought from, was from that quote. Because, excuse me, to me it was such a wonderful thought. Amen. To see that this heavenly vision isn't just going to fulfill itself. There's people that have got to be there. It's like when the prophet speaks of the principle of the fulfillment of a vision. Remember how he speaks about it. He says, I had a certain vision. He says, and in this vision, I was walking down a street and I came to a certain gate and I saw a man coming out of a door. And he came and he opened this gate and he went out. And I went and I looked behind the gate and there was a rake for raking the leaves. He says, and I looked at the door. He says, and in the vision, then I went to the door, and the Lord showed him what to do. And he says, when I got to the door, I knocked on the door, and a certain lady came to the door. And I asked her, do you have anybody sick? And she said, yes, I've got a very sick baby. And Brother Ram says, I pray for the sick. And then this lady says, what is your parish? And he said, the world is my parish. And said, please come on in. Can I pray for your baby? And the prophet says, and I went in there. And there was a hat on the television. And there was a certain lady who came in dressed like a grandmother, dressed in a certain way. And she was sitting in a certain sofa. And then another man came in and he sat in a certain place. He says, and in the vision, that's when I went and I took that baby that was gasping for breath. And I prayed for it. And the power of God came and healed it. Amen. Prophet says, a few weeks later, I went to pray for a man in a certain town. And when I was going from there, I was just walking down the street from praying for this man. And all of a sudden I stopped and a man came out of a door. And he says, and I thought to myself, I've seen this before. Now it was the vision. He says, and I waited for the man to go out the gate and I went and looked behind the gate and there was that rake. He says, so I went to the door and I knocked on the door and there was that lady came and opened the door. And then I said to her, do you have someone sick in here that needs prayer? And she said, what is your parish? And I said, the world is my parish. And she said, come inside. And he says, and I went inside. Says, and there was the grandmother, but she was sitting on a chair. And says, and there was no hat on the television set. He says, but me, in my immaturity and my zeal, I said, bring me the baby. This baby is going to be healed, you'll see. And the baby was struggling for breath. Says, I took the baby and I prayed for the baby and it got worse. And it almost died. He says, and then I thought, what's gone wrong? And the mother came and was trying to give breath to the baby and the baby was struggling to breathe. And then the prophet says, and then I looked around and I said, Lord, I ran ahead of the vision. The man hasn't yet come in and taken the hat from this place and put it on the television set. And that lady is not sitting in the right place. You see, for the vision to be fulfilled, it needed certain people to be there and in certain positions. They were ordained to be there. And if there was someone there that wasn't supposed to be there, he's going to have to wait for all these events to transpire to come perfectly in harmony with the vision. So finally, the prophet sits there for some time and then somebody gets up and says they have to go to work, whatever it was. And the prophet says, if that man goes out of here, we're in trouble. Because that man's part of the vision. If he goes to work now, we're going to have to wait until the man comes back from work. He says, and it was just the grace of God when I was repenting before the Lord in my heart. certain, the last person came into the room. And this lady, the grandmother, got up and went and sat on the sofa. This man came and took the hat from the chair and put it on the television set. And all of a sudden, everybody was in position. Then the prophet got up and he says, I'm so sorry, I ran ahead before. There was no harmony between us and the vision before. But now we've all got into our positions. He says, give me the baby now. And then he says, as soon as I prayed, the power of God came and healed that baby. Because every part of the vision was in place. Now friends, that is 100% the principle of God's word. For our own lives as well. So obviously the Lord, if he has a purpose for you, he has a commission for your life, he has something which he wants you to fulfill, a portion of the word that you and I are to fulfill, the portion of his program that we are to unfold in this great drama. The most important thing the Lord's going to be trying to get us to do is to move into that position. Amen. And the most important thing, the great focus of our own lives, our own hearts should be surely, not what other people are doing, but what about me? Am I in my position in the vision? Am I in harmony with the vision? Am I in the place that I'm supposed to be? And then everything else will take care of itself from there. So that's what the prophet is speaking about here. Now, Abraham had to go through a process, if you go and study his life, to really get himself into that position that he really was walking in harmony with God. Many times he'd come in harmony with God and he'd go out of harmony. He'd come in harmony, something else would come and pull him out. He'd feast with Melchizedek, have a wonderful spiritual experience, get tangled up in the issue of Hagar. You know, he'd come out of this and then go into that. But as you see his life progressing, as he comes to the climax of his ministry, as he comes now to the time for the third pull, the spoken word on Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide, you'll find that man has moved into a position that he walks so much in harmony with the word. He's so much in harmony with the vision that God has for his life. And this is a progressive work that God was doing in this man's life to bring this man into this condition. But it never came straight away. Look in Genesis 12. Look at the first verse of Genesis 12. And it's interesting because the prophet brings up certain things from the scripture that if we just read it, we wouldn't see it. But he says in Genesis 12 verse 1, he says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham. So he doesn't say it in chapter 12. He's already said it in chapter 11. So it says, and the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. So there's certain people that he's with. He's not supposed to be with these people. The Lord says, leave these people. Separate yourself from your father's house. These people aren't part of the vision. And go to a place that I will show you. So he's not yet in the place that he's supposed to be for this great program, this great vision God has for his life to be fulfilled. So God's going to want to get him from there and put him in the right place. And God's going to want to take away from him those influences that are wrong. And God's going to want to bring into his life those people that are prerequisite to fulfill the vision. Because Abraham can't just fulfill the vision himself. He needs Sarah to fulfill the vision. For him to bring forth the child of promise, he can't do it on his own. So there's other people that are going to have to be with him to bring forth this promise. Then he's going to need down the way Eliezer of Damascus. He's going to need someone to be with him in this vision once Isaac is born, to be able to bring somebody else that's needed, Rebecca, from where she is, to bring her into the vision. So that this program of God can continue to unfold it even beyond Abraham. So there's certain people that are supposed to be there. And these people are going to come into Abraham's life just at certain seasons. And they're going to be walking in harmony with the vision, these people. And if Abraham can just get in harmony with these people that are in harmony, everything's going to start falling into place and things are going to take care of themselves. But at first, Abraham, he makes this mistake. Now, look at what happened in chapter 11. If you go just the verses before, in verse 31, it says, and Terah, which was his father, yeah, took Abraham his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran, and dwelt there. So, this is strange. The Lord spoke unto Abraham and says, Abraham, separate yourself. But what's happened? Where Abraham is, the Lord spoke unto him. Maybe Abraham's gone now to his father Terah and says, hey, Dad, I had a real powerful experience. God spoke to me. The Lord God of heaven. He's revealed himself to me and he's told me to go to a certain place that he's going to show me. He's told me to separate. The father says, wonderful, son, I'm going to come with you. That's what he does. He says, let's go together. Okay, Abraham, you go and get these things ready. You go and pack these camels. Let's sell a house. Let's all go. Let's go down to Haran. That's what happened. Because if you read chapter 11 there, Abraham's not in charge, it seems. A terror is taking the people here. Now, how is God going to fulfill the vision in Abraham's life when another man's in control of his life? That's why it says in verse 32, and the days of Terah were 205, and Terah died in Haran. He had to die from this influence in his life. Amen. This was the first thing that he's got to get rid of, was this. Now, I'm not saying don't respect your parents. Definitely we do. But I'm sure he had his place in the program of God, Terah, to bring forth Abraham, to raise him up. I don't know what reward he got. May the Lord bless him. But he wasn't part of the vision that God had for the life of Abraham. So God has to bring them there. The vision has to be put on pause. Wait. And the Lord's saying, Abraham, we're going to have to wait for this man to die. I wish you could have just listened to me and separated yourself. We could have come to the fulfillment of the vision a lot quicker, but you're going to have to wait for this man to die. And the prophet says that in Israel and the church, he says, now watch. He did right there what God told him not to do. He took Lot, his nephew, and Abraham took his daddy. But he never told him to take his daddy, but he took him anyhow. And any Bible reader, you read this in Genesis tomorrow. It was a fly in the ointment. That's what the prophet says. Until the old man died. He was a stumbling block all the way along, and so was Lot. God called Abraham, not Lot. God called Abraham, not his daddy. And that's a principle, friends, that we have to learn. We love people. We love our relatives. We want to just try to bring everybody along and just say, hey, let's all do this, that, and the other. But God has the people he wants you to fulfill the vision with. Amen. God has certain people he's going to put in your life at certain times. And it's so wonderful if you can recognize those people and recognize that God has put us together here for a purpose, because God has got a vision he wants to be fulfilled. Now he says in the message, Abraham, he says, now Abraham, like a human being, failed to do it. Now, if the covenant would have been on conditions, he's speaking that Abraham was called an unconditional covenant. He says it had to be a grace covenant because Abraham was going to make his mistakes. He says the first thing, his daddy gave him a lot of trouble. Then his father died. Then instead of separating himself, he took along a big bunch along with him. That's about the way that we do. You know what I mean. So the prophet knows, because the prophet's made the same mistake.
That's right.
He goes to South Africa, brings along Brother Baxter, the ministerial committee, all these people that are not really part of the vision. There's a whole lot of people that the prophet goes to, and he's with them, staying in their homes, driving, they're driving him around, they're making the itinerary of his meetings, but they're not part of the vision. They're not in harmony with the vision at all. And that caused a lot of problem in the prophet's life. So the prophet knows this principle. He says, hey, it's very easy to do these kind of things. You know, in all our good intentions and how we love to be, you know, nice to people, but you can get yourself so tangled up with people sometimes. So he gets so tangled up, Abraham, because he's walking now with people that are not walking in the vision. Their lives aren't governed by this vision. There's no deep in them that's trying to express itself by fulfilling this great purpose of God. But, like I said, Abraham's going to learn. He comes now from there. Strife comes in now with Lot. The old man's died. Now the Lord says, Abraham, I'm going to have to separate you now from Lot, because Lot's not part of the vision. He doesn't have the call. You're not supposed to walk with him. Lot's got his portion. It's fine. He's a righteous man. His heart is vexed by the sins of the city. But God brings strife. And the strife comes. And Abraham said, but what's the strife all about? And then it comes to the stage now that Abraham's walking by himself. And then the Lord comes down and says, go to the north, south, east, and west, and I'll show you the land. And you know, think, Abraham, you're doing well now. You've learned your lesson. Melchizedek comes down. He has bread and wine. It's a wonderful experience. Abraham goes, 318 young men. Power of deliverance brings Lot and all the people of Sodom back once again. Hey, some tremendous progress. And then Abraham gets himself caught up in the issue of Hagar now. He's gone to Egypt and he's brought along somebody who's not part of the vision.
That's right.
Hagar's not supposed to be there. Where did she come from? When he had his time of doubt and his backsliding and he went down there to Egypt contrary to the vision, he brings something up now from his time when he's not doing so well with the Lord, and he gets himself entangled and he's listening to Sarah and all this program's going on that's got nothing to do with the program of God. And it brings such heartache and sorrow in the tent, and then Hagar has to leave and she goes out with Ishmael and there's all these tears and all the sorrow that goes on. And God's trying to teach this man a lesson. But eventually, Abraham, through the process of time, he gets to the stage that he starts to really walk in the vision.
Amen.
In Genesis 22, Abraham walks in the vision now.
Amen.
When the Lord comes down, just to show how Abraham has come to such a stage of harmony with God, God comes down and says, Abraham, take your son, your only son, the one that you love, even Isaac. Go and sacrifice him on the mountain. Hey, and this man has come to such a harmony with God, such a maturity in his experience, that with this most testing time, because the Bible says, and the Lord did tempt Abraham. It was a test, the greatest test. And Abraham gets up early the next morning, and he doesn't tell Sarah. He says, Sarah's not part of this vision. In the vision, it's me and Isaac up there. And he goes now, and he's learned his lesson, and he goes, just the two of them. And I love the way that that story fits together there, because Isaac gets into the vision as well.
Amen.
Hey, Abraham and Isaac, this is the father and the son. This is the great mystery of redemption. This is the great deep feeling that God has in his bosom, that he himself is going to send his son as a sacrifice, as God's provided lamb. And Abraham gets into such a harmony with Jehovah at this time that Abraham enters into this realm of the deep feelings of God, this great redemptive plan. And Abraham can feel there's something really important taking place here. This which the Lord has asked me to do, it's very important. I can feel it inside of my soul. I've let him down before. I've walked with people I shouldn't have. I've got entangled in things that I shouldn't have. But this time I can feel this is important. I don't want to let him down this time. And Abraham goes and cuts the wood and he goes with his servants, leaves them at the foot of the mountain because they weren't part of the vision. And he puts the wood on Isaac's back and Isaac packs the wood up the hill. And then as they're going up, it says, if I can just find it here, he says verse 6, Genesis 22 verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, Genesis 22, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And I like this part. And they went, both of them, together.
Amen.
Hey, they were together in the vision. It wasn't easy. The conditions were tough. Both of them were facing up to such a trial that they have to go through. Abraham's going to have to take the sacrificial knife and plunge it in the bosom of his son that he's waited 25 years for. The son of promise. And Isaac's going to have to submit himself to the requirement of Jehovah to be a sacrifice, a burnt offering. But as they're walking together.
Amen.
Hey, friends, that's what I long for.
Amen.
If we can walk together in this vision. That's the wonderful thing. That's when you get the blessing. Verse 7. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Isaac's trying to find out, what's the vision here? What is the real, what's going on here? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. It says again. Even when it's been unfolded, and Isaac now having a suspicion, saying, father, I see the knife on your belt. I see the wood on my back. I see the fire that you're taking. I see that you've prepared yourself for this great sacred sacrifice. Father, where's the lamb? God will provide himself a lamb. And Isaac now enters into the vision and is willing to submit himself. He's entered as the perfect type of Christ. And they go up and we know what takes place. Everything comes into place and God stops Abraham's hands and there's the ram in the thicket. And then there comes the great blessing. Abraham, now I know that you love me. Because you love me even above your own son. Because you are willing to give your son. Now in blessing, I'll bless you. And the great blessing comes in. Because God has found a man that in the most difficult of situations, trying of circumstances, is walking perfectly in harmony with this vision. Hey, and that's when Abraham, now he speaks. And here comes the lamb. And I believe the same thing. When we're walking perfectly in harmony with the vision, that's when you can speak and things can take place. Because Jesus says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will. But if we're walking in line with his vision, through the tests, through the trials, having come progressively to that stage that we have that perfect harmony inside of our souls. Though your flesh may sometimes want to answer back, but your soul overrides the flesh, the natural desires. But your soul has one desire, and that is to please him. Your soul has one desire, that is to walk in harmony with him. I believe that is the material, just like Abraham, showing us there, the third pull. That's where God can put those kind of things. It takes that kind of a condition. So finally, we find Abraham, and he comes to Genesis chapter 24 now. Here comes the son of promise. Here comes Isaac. But now where's Isaac going to get a bride from? Now he's going to need somebody else. Abraham's already had to have Sarah come into the vision. At first, Sarah wasn't in harmony with the vision. Because in Genesis 18, when Elohim comes down and speaks and says, your wife Sarah shall bring forth a son in the time, I'll visit you in the time of life. She laughs. She's not in harmony with the vision. But God doesn't give up on her. Remember Brother Pavel when he was here and he says, that was an important part. Because when the Lord now spoke to Sarah and says, you did laugh. When God himself addressed her and spoke personally to her, that visitation did something for Sarah. The Lord did something for her. And now you find Sarah, the Bible says, by faith, Sarah conceived. Yet she was barren. We know how it was. She was beyond age and so forth. So she now, the Lord deals with her. Abraham enters into the vision first. But Sarah comes and just in time she moves into her place in the vision as well. And here comes the child of promise because of that. Now here's the child of promise. But in order for this program, this great redemptive program of God to continue to go forth, the lineage of Jesus Christ to bring forth the Messiah in due season, where's a suitable bride going to come from? Who's suitable for this son of promise like this? This son who's been so much like Christ that he offers himself willingly on the altar. And he would have died as a sacrifice in harmony with the vision. He's going to have to find someone who's going to suit his son, who's going to be a bride. Amen. So God has a certain man. We were speaking about it in the car. Eliezer was a Gentile. He was from Damascus. And Brother Ram, that time when he was reading his Bible, says, Lord, is there nobody in the Bible that was I could find myself in that same position? And he says, I looked, Genesis 24, Amen. Eliezer of Damascus. Amen. He was a Gentile. That's right. To go and call a bride in evening time, like I say to Gitana, when Nahor was from, was part of Mesopotamia. It was from Babylon. It was part of Babylon. So it was an evening time. Eliezer had to go and call them out of Babylon. Call her out of Babylon. And bring her now to come down to Isaac. So we know it's a type of the evening time. But Eliezer now, I love Eliezer. The prophet says Eliezer is the model servant. If you listen to the messages, time of decision. The prophet says, look at Eliezer. He was a model servant. He was a pattern of what a servant should be. So I think of the prophet saying, this man's a model servant. We servants of God, friends. We're sons and daughters, but we're in service for him. I'd say we need to look at this man a little bit. Because this man, just when he was needed, moved perfectly in harmony with the vision as well. Hey, Genesis 24. Abraham now has this deep inside of him. He's getting old, verse 1, and he's well stricken in age. The Lord's blessed him, but now, hey, where's the bride going to come from? Amen. And verse 2, and Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. So obviously this man's proved himself faithful. Because Abraham's not going to put all that he has in the hands of somebody that hasn't been proved. This man's been proved faithful. It says, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, amongst whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now Abraham needs a man in the evening time who's going to enter into harmony with this vision, with this purpose, with this program that the Lord has, that Jehovah has. And he finds just the man. God has provided a man. Who knows where the man was from? Eliezer of Damascus. If you watch that film, Abraham, you find that Eliezer's coming, escaping away from whichever place that it was. And these troops come chasing him, want to kill him. And Abraham buys the man and then sets him free. And then the man comes and follows Abraham. Who knows what the history of Eliezer of Damascus was? But we just know that he was part of the vision. That the vision couldn't go forth without this man, Eliezer. And he was really, really the model servant. Very much the model servant. Then he says, verse 5. Now, if you read the whole of chapter 24, you're not going to find the name Eliezer. God's trying to tell us something, friends. It doesn't matter. It's not my program, my reputation, my name that counts. It's not your program, your ideas, your reputation. It's his vision that's the most important thing. So even if our names are never mentioned, it doesn't matter. As long as we've walked in harmony with the vision, that's all we've got to do in this life. Whether people know about it, whether people pat you on the back or not, whether you never seem to get an earthly reward, it doesn't matter to somebody who's really wanting to please God. Because the only thing you really want is the satisfaction that comes to the soul of a person whose soul is in harmony with the vision.
Amen.
That's the thing that really satisfies a person. So it just says, and the servant, verse 5, said unto him, peradventure the woman will be not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I needs bring your son again to the land from whence thou came? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. Now, verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spoke unto me, and that sway unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee. Can you see? It's a continuation of the same great vision.
Amen.
The same angel that's come and spoken to Abraham and moved him from Ur of the Chaldees and has brought him into the land of promise. The same angel that's come down and spoken to Sarah and ministered her into the vision. So she brings forth her part of the vision. Abraham's saying, that same angel is going to be with you.
Amen.
That's how this man now, he gets himself into the same vision. He's influenced by the same angel of the Lord that has brought Abraham to this particular place in his ministry.
Amen.
And that's what it's got to be with us. You and I can never fulfill this vision without the same angel of the Lord that influenced Brother Branham.
That's right.
Without the same angel of the Lord leading us individually inside of our lives, we can never fulfill this portion of the word that has been left for us. Never. We have to come into harmony with this vision, this perfect
Amen.
Harmony in our souls. And friends, that is the end of the new birth. The fullness of the new birth brings somebody's soul
Amen.
Into perfect harmony with God. Perfect harmony with the vision. That's what the Lord desires for each of us. So the prophet says Eliezer is a model servant. He says the first thing, he didn't go until he was sent. You see, he didn't set the timetable and say, I want to go now. No, he waited until the vision moved into the right place.
Amen.
He didn't take the hat himself. The prophet says, when I was sitting there, he says, I knew that hat needed to be on the television. He says, I couldn't go and take it myself. I had to wait for that man to come and take
Amen.
That hat and put it on the television.
Amen.
And Abraham knows himself, I can't go. But in order for this great program to continue on, God is going to bring somebody at the right time who's going to be able to move into their position in the vision.
Amen.
And that was Eliezer of Damascus. Now friends, you and I have those people in our lives as well.
That's right.
That God brings people in your life and you know that this person's part of the vision.
Amen.
We may not agree on which cars are the best, which phones are the best. One likes a Samsung, one likes an Apple. That's okay. But as long as inside of our souls we have a deep,
Amen.
which responds to the deep in one another, to know that we're all here to fulfill the same vision. We're all here to partake. This brother's going to do things in this vision that I can't do. This sister's got a place to play that I can't play. Sarah had her part. Each of them had their part to play. And friends, if each of us here could just resolve in ourselves to say, Lord, I'm not going to worry about anything else now. I just want to get my soul in harmony with the vision.
Amen.
Imagine what the wonderful things the Lord would do.
That's right.
And that's what the prophet says. He says they had to get in one place, one accord, one heart, one soul. And then the blessing came down. They had to get in line with the vision, in harmony with the vision. And the prophet says, when they were voting Matthias and all those things, the prophet said, did you notice how the Holy Ghost waited until they got all things in order?
Amen.
And once they did that and put Matthias and whatever they did there, everything the prophet says was in order. Then the Holy Ghost came down. He says, but the Holy Ghost waited for them to get things in order. And it's the same as us. Now, friends, I can't answer for you. You can't answer for me. I must answer for myself. I must get myself in line with the vision. I must get in harmony with Him. And you must get in harmony with Him. And if you're in harmony with Him and I'm in harmony with Him, we're going to be in harmony with one another. It has to be. Eliezer and Abraham were perfectly in harmony because Eliezer was in harmony with God and his program. And Abraham was in harmony with God. And Sarah got in harmony with God. And Isaac got in harmony with God. Now there's only one more person we need for the story, and that's Rebecca. We're going to need her because she's part of the vision.
That's right.
So the same angel that's led Abraham from there into the land of promise has brought forth the child of promise. The same angel's going to lead Eliezer.
That's right.
And the same angel's going to go and speak to Rebecca.
Amen.
To bring her in harmony so she can line up with her part of the vision.
Amen.
Friends, that's how God works. Don't you love to see the way He puts His jigsaw puzzle together?
Amen.
It's so wonderful. When I was in Ukraine, we were sitting around and there were all the brothers and ministers, deacons, everywhere. It was such wonderful fellowship. And then the one brother asked a question and I said, hey, you ask the pastor, you know? And he asked this question. He said, what about the gifts of the Spirit? Should we seek for them? And then Brother Rehoboam answered so wise. He said, look, brother, let me give you an example. He says, there was a time in this church where there were no ministers apart from me. He said, people used to pressure me and say, it's time that Brother Rehoboam trained up some young ministers and so forth. He says, now we have 6 ministers in the church. He says, God added exactly what was needed. He says, there was a time in this church where our finances, when He built the church, were such turmoil. We're in trouble with the government. We're going to have to pay tax and all this. He says, because me, I'm just a grade 8 person. He says, and there was a certain lady in Donetsk. She's one of the best accountants in Donetsk. She was in good books with all the top government officials. The Lord led her one day. She sat in the church. She received Christ.
Amen.
She came in the message. Says, and she came to me one day and said, Pastor, would you mind if I do the books? And she said, you sorted everything out. She saved us so much money and she's been doing it ever since. And he said, brother, whatever's part of the vision, God's going to bring it.
Amen.
God's going to bring it in due season. If we just wait upon the Lord, have the right attitude, get in one place, one accord, God will add whenever we need a gift of healing, when we need this and that. Watch how God adds because it's His program.
That's right.
He knows who needs to come when. But sometimes He has to hold it back. Saying, I'm waiting a little bit. Let's get everything in order. Let's get into harmony and then God will bring the things once again.
Amen.
That's a lesson that you find there with Eliezer. So Eliezer now, he takes the camels, we know how it is, and he takes all the goods of his master. He didn't go until he was sent. And where he went, it wasn't his choice. It was Abraham who told him where to go.
Amen.
And the prophet says, Abraham is typing God the Father. Eliezer's typing the model servant. The father's giving him his commission, showing him the vision. Because the vision is he's got to come to a well of water. There's got to be this young virgin come forth and she's got to give him drink and water the camels. That's part of this great vision that's going to have to unfold. And he doesn't know where it's going to be. He doesn't know how he's going to fulfill this. But all that he can do is line himself up with the vision. And I love that with him. He didn't think his own thoughts, didn't crack his mind, didn't add his own things. He just kept asking Abraham, where should I go? Should I go now? If she doesn't want to come, what should I do? And Abraham told him exactly, no, no, if she doesn't want to come, you leave her, then you come back. You don't take my son. But then Abraham says, but his angel will go before you. The same God who sent his angel with me is the same God who's going to send his angel with you. And so he goes, so simple. And it says in verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening. You see, God brought it exactly at the right time. Because the woman came out at evening time to draw water from the well. See how the Lord led this man. This man was so in the vision. He had a part that he had to play that Abraham couldn't play. And he had a part that Abraham had a part to play that he couldn't play. Eliezer. And same with each and every one of us. It says, and the woman got to draw water. Verse 12, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Friends, without prayer, you'll never be in harmony with the vision. Yeah,
that's right.
That's how this man stays in harmony. When he's given his commission, he's speaking to the Lord. Where should I go, Lord? What should I say? What happens if this happened? What happened if that happened? No, you go here. Where? This is when you must go. Then you go in obedience to that. He gets to the stage, and Lord, thank you. Now, this is part of the vision I can see. He has the well of water, but how am I going to know who she is?
Amen.
And then the Lord inspires him when he prays and says, you ask me for a sign. And he does. He says, Lord, let the one who, when I ask her to drink, she gives me drink and also offers to water my camels, let her be the one.
Amen.
And exactly at that time, the woman came out, and he says that. And it says in verse 15, and it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. So she comes out now, exactly at the right time, the right place.
Amen.
And God brings the right person. Ha! And Eliezer said, this is so powerful. Now, how's he going to know that this is the right woman? He asks her, give me water. She fulfills the requirement. He says, this is good. He asks her, where are you from? Oh, she's from the right bloodline.
Amen.
They're relatives. Aye, this is powerful. Do you have room in your father's house that I could stay? Yes. And she runs to the father's house and comes back, and they come along. Verse 33. I love this, how he speaks. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I've told mine errand. Friends, this was a man who had just one thing on his heart. He wanted to fulfill his commission. He wanted to be in harmony with this vision. He didn't want other things to come in the way. He said, don't give me food now. Let me speak to you of this that is burning inside of my heart. It was first burning in Abraham's heart. But it's passed from Abraham. As Abraham gives the message to Eliezer and the commission, it becomes a burden in the heart now of Eliezer. Eliezer says, I can't eat until I tell you of my errand. And look what his message was. Verse 34, and he said, I am Abraham's servant. Can you see a man in harmony with the vision? He's not speaking of himself.
That's right.
The prophet says he wasn't speaking of his big meetings and all the things that he had seen and done. The prophet says, that's not a model servant. This man says, I'm Abraham's servant.
Amen.
That's who he was. His life was bound up in the vision of Abraham.
Amen.
That's where he found himself, was in Abraham's vision. He was part of it. And friends, we don't have any vision of our own.
Right.
We're part of Brother Branham's vision, Malachi 4's vision, Revelation 10 vision. That's our commission. It's a Joshua commission. So if somebody asks you, you can just say, where are you from? From the end time message. That's what I'm from. The end time message. What is your commission? It's an evening time commission.
Amen.
I'm Abraham's servant. He never mentions his name because his name doesn't matter. He's not there for himself.
Right.
He's not there trying to marry Rebekah himself. He's there to fulfill a commission. And he's so in harmony with this vision. Verse 35, look what he continues on saying. And the Lord has blessed my master greatly. And he's become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants, maid servants, camels and ass. That's all about him.
Right.
Not about me, I. It's my master and him, and he has a son. Verse 36. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master. The prophet says, what was his message? It was about the father who possessed all things and his son. who was looking for a bride. That's all that this man cared about. Friends, this man really was in the vision.
Amen.
He was a man that was walking in harmony. He's the model servant of the Bible. Now, they all seem to be so happy, this, that. And it's time now, he says, please, let me go with her. Verse 56. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. Remember what happened there? They were saying, let her stay so many more days. Please, no, you can't take her now. You see, you get entangled up with people. These people weren't in the vision. They hadn't been influenced by the angel of the Lord. Eliezer had, and Rebecca had. They were the only two that had been influenced by the angel of the Lord. So you're going to find when Rebecca now comes, Eliezer has a burden. He's saying, please, let us go now. They're going to bring Rebecca, and she's going to be in perfect harmony with Eliezer. Perfectly in harmony. Because they come and they bring and they say in verse 58, they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I'll go.
Amen.
That's wonderful. No forcing of this, no forcing of that. She's been influenced by the same angel.
Amen.
She's part of the same program. So when her and Eliezer come together, they just feel something strange. It's like us when we heard the message. We just need this something different. This is for me.
Amen.
Like Brother Billy Paul says, when I found my wife, I stopped looking. He says, when I found the message, I stopped looking as well.
Amen.
And it's exactly the truth. You just found something that ministers to the deep in you because you ordained to fulfill a part of this vision. So when you come in contact with other people that are playing their part in the vision, there's something inside of you that you just feel a one accord with them.
Amen.
You just feel a harmony with them. So they called and she says, because she now was in perfect harmony with him. So you can tell that both of them had been influenced by the same angel. They were both under the same anointing. They were both in their own way there to fulfill the same commission. They were both in their own way to fulfill this great heart's purpose of Abraham. This deep that he had inside of himself. And that's why they came in harmony with one another. Now, certain times, you can have conflict and strife, say with people, and you may think, like with Abraham and Lot, maybe you're not supposed to be with these people. It doesn't always mean that. Let me show you one example in the Bible, in the life of Paul, that it's not always like that. Now, God has his season and God has his time. And you'll go and find it in Acts chapter 15. We know the scripture. Just wanted to clarify that point because I think it's a very important point. Now, that God wants you to walk with certain people at certain times. But sometimes, even amongst them that are to fulfill the same vision, it doesn't mean we'll always agree with each other. Look in Acts 15 verse 37 about Barnabas. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul says, this young man's not part of the vision now. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. So they'd been with this young man before things got tough. The young man wasn't there when the going got tough. Now Barnabas is related to him. So Barnabas says, Paul, let's take John Mark. And Paul says, we're not taking John Mark. He complicated things last time. It says verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder from one another. Friends, it can happen. People under the same commission, people to fulfill the same vision.
Amen.
The same age. They can have such a contention among themselves, they depart from one another. But it's for a season. That's one thing I love. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. That's when Paul goes off with Silas. But now go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. This is the end of Paul's ministry. This is when the capstone, he's fulfilling the fullness of his ministry. He says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. Now watch. He's been trying to walk with Demas. He likes Demas. Demas is his fellow minister. The prophet says Demas was a good man. But Demas couldn't catch the vision of Paul. He couldn't do it. And Paul tries to walk with Demas, in the end. 2 Timothy 4 verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. That was hard for Paul. Demas forsook him at that time. But verse 11. Only Luke is with me. take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You see, now the young man, he's learned his lessons. The young man's moved in line with the vision. He's walking in harmony. And Paul says, ah, good. That young man's walking in harmony with the vision as well. He's profitable for the ministry. So God knows how to do things, friends. Sometimes it's going to have to be like that. But the only thing we have to worry about ourselves as individuals, you just make sure that you seek to walk in harmony with the vision. Amen. I seek to walk in harmony with the vision. And everything else will take care of itself. Now, do you have a little bit more time?
Amen.
The prophet, we've looked at Abraham there. Now that Abraham made his mistakes and he walked with the wrong people for a while and got caught up. But in the end, the man really walked in harmony with God. And God unfolded his program through Abraham. And then Eliezer came and he walked in harmony with God. And then Rebecca moved into the program and Sarah fulfilled her part. Everyone fulfilled their part, their commission in due season. But the prophet, if you take your book, A Prophet Visits South Africa. I don't have it, but that book is a powerful book.
That's right.
But that entire book, just about, was when the prophet was walking in God's permissive will. The prophet wasn't walking in God's perfect will in that entire book. When I read that book and I see all those testimonies and I say, imagine if the prophet at that time had been in God's perfect will. Imagine the testimonies that would have been there. But at that time there, most of that book is written when the prophets got out of harmony with the vision. The prophet speaks about it. We know how it is. He says in an Africa trip report, 1953, he's just come back from the Africa trip. And he's speaking about what he went through and how they went and first of all went to Johannesburg. They got there. Branham started to preach. It was a powerful meeting. Thousands of people came. I think about 15,000, 20,000 people, whatever. The prophet just starts. People have come from far. People have been bussed in from the homelands and from the rural districts of South Africa. People have traveled days and nights coming to these meetings. Now, the vision in God concerning the prophet going to South Africa was Johannesburg for 1 week. Sydney Jackson for 1 week. Durban for 2 weeks. That's what it was. They get to Johannesburg. The prophet starts off on the weekend. They have powerful meetings for 1 or 2 days. It's in the newspapers, great testimonies of healings. The big people of the city are coming. The medical association are coming and want to meet with Branham and say, we believe in this. This isn't all this hocus pocus stuff. This is genuine stuff. Such a wonderful. And people have come from far. God has all these people that he wants to be part of this great vision, this great redemptive vision. And people are still coming. And then after 2 days or whatever in Johannesburg, the ministerial association said to Brother Ram, we need to go from Johannesburg. And Brother Ram says, what? Are you crazy? The people have come from far. The people have come to be part of this vision. Why are you wanting to leave now? This is where God is at. This is what God is doing. And then the ministers start to say to him, no, but we've made our itinerary. We promised Brother so-and-so in Klerksdorp. Now Klerksdorp is just a little town in those days. In Klerksdorp, that you can preach in his church. And then we're going to go from there and we're going to take a trip all the way around down to Cape Town. And then we're going to go from there and fly in those days to Salisbury, to Harare. And the prophet doesn't know what's going on. What is going on here? At first, the prophet, not realizing it, he agrees. It's okay, whatever you brothers decide. But then he says, during the night, I sat down and I turned on a little light. He heard this bird flying outside and he looked outside. It was like a special type of a bird. And he came and he sat down. He says, and I started to read my Bible. And I looked up and here he was milling around before me, the pillar of fire. And he said, don't you go with them. Why? Because they weren't in the vision.
That's right.
They weren't people that were in the spirit of the fulfillment of this vision. They had their own visions they were trying to fulfill. Their own itineraries, their own aims which they had, which weren't in harmony with God's vision for the prophet being in South Africa. He says, but you stay right here in Johannesburg. That's what the Lord told him. Sorry, he says, you stay here for 2 weeks. That's what it was. And then there's going to be a man by the name of Jackson who's going to take you lion hunting. You take that week with him. Then go over to Durban, a place called Durban, and stay there a month. That's what it was. 2 weeks, 1 week, and a month. That was the vision. And friends, if the prophet could have stayed in harmony, imagine what would have taken place. Like I said, he didn't stay in that. And imagine that book and the powerful things that took place. So the prophet wakes up Brother Baxter, who's his manager. Now we're going to find out. Brother Baxter wasn't in the vision. Brother Baxter was quite a problem to Brother Branham. And he wakes up Brother Baxter and says, Brother Baxter, we can't go with this itinerary. The Lord's come, the angel of the Lord's come, and he's told me this is what we have to do. Brother Baxter says, okay, we'll tell the ministers in the morning. The prophet says he told them next morning. The next morning, they were just so persistent. They refused. They said, we've got our program. They said, and here they came up with the cars and said, we're going to go anyhow. And Brother Baxter said, are you going to go, Brother Branham? I said, no, sir. I hadn't even packed my suitcase. I said, no, the Lord told me not to go. In come the ministers. And Brother Bosworth knows, he was sitting in this meeting when the prophet was speaking about it. We had a real round of it. And they said, we have to go. We've closed the meetings here. Imagine God brings people from all over, brings them into fulfill a vision. And these men are so out of harmony with this vision that just when God is starting to do something with all these people that are lining up with the vision, these men close the meetings and say, we need to leave this place. The prophet says, I said, ridiculous. Right where the Lord has given us favor and everything and telling us to stay here, here's where we are to stay. And even Brother Bosworth got out of the vision and said to Brother, you need to listen to the ministers and so forth. He says, but if anybody here remembers in Shreveport, Louisiana, one day the Holy Spirit came just before going to South Africa and said, thus saith the Lord to me, be careful, there's a trap for you in Africa. Now listen to what the prophet says. He says, well, I thought it was witch doctors and so forth. I thought, I know who God is. Witch doctors aren't going to bother me. I didn't know it was among brethren. You see how sly was Satan. See where the trap came? And the man found himself trapped now that, yeah, I'm in a difficult situation here. Because these men have set an itinerary. They've made all the meetings. They have the transport. They've arranged the accommodation. What am I going to do? So Brother Baxter came to the prophet, his manager, imagine. Brother Baxter came and said, I believe if they've got the committee already formed, you should go ahead. The prophet says, I said, Brother Baxter, listen to me. It goes to show, I'll show you the lesson of it. No matter if he's my manager, he's a good man, a fine man, a Christian man, full of the Holy Ghost. But God is my guide. And God was trying to get that to me. You see, it's like with Abram and Lot. God is trying to teach Abram, Abram, don't get yourself caught up with these kinds of people that aren't in the vision. You line up with the vision, and I'll bring the people that are lined up with the vision as well, and this vision's going to fulfill itself. And the strife had to come. And the prophet says, well, we fussed, they argued, until about 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, the moment there's arguing and strife, at least one party is not in harmony with the vision. As long as there's fussing and strife and disagreement, at least one person's not moving in line with the vision. That's why they were disagreeing. Compared to Abraham and Eliezer, just shoo, they moved in together into the vision. The prophet says, and God sometimes let your very best bosom friends, do you know that, wrap right around you. Brother Bosworth was just as sincere, and Brother Baxter. But you see, God was giving me a test. Like with Abraham, like with the rest of them, friends. Brother Bosworth was looking at it from the natural ministerial standpoint. He wasn't looking at it from a prophetic vision, despite the fact that he was such a good man. Just come into a close. The prophet says, I walked over there, I got some locust leaves from the tree, put them in my hand. There stood Brother Bosworth, Brother Baxter, and several ministers. I walked with these leaves, threw it on their feet and said, thus saith the Lord, from this time on we out of the will of God. It will be nothing but trouble till we return. And is that not the same as us, friends? We try to walk with God, but then we get ourselves out of harmony with God. We get out of that channel. We get caught up in this. We get caught up in that. And we have nothing but trouble until each of us as individuals return and come back to the original vision again. And say, let's line up with the vision. Where did I leave him? What have I done wrong? And these things are lessons. Abraham had to have his lessons. The prophet had to have his lessons. And they're painful lessons. But that's the way that God teaches his people. Trying to bring his people into perfect harmony. That they'll walk just with him. Just with him. Doesn't matter about anything else. They're going to walk in harmony with the commission that he's given them. And God's going to bring people like that together. Like-minded people. Remember Paul says, he says, I'm going to send to you my son Timothy. I have no man like-minded. You see, Timothy was in the same vision. Paul says, if Timothy goes there, if I am there, it's the same. We're both like-minded. So, we know that brother, they go down to Clarksdorp, they have these meetings. The first night, Brother says, I'm not going. Brother Bosworth, you can go and preach. Brother Bosworth goes and preach. There's such a torrential downpour. All the sick get wet. There's floods everywhere. Brother Bosworth and them come back and said, well, we tried tonight. Brother Bim said, fine, but we're out of the will of God. Let's see what happens tomorrow night. The next night they go down there again, and it comes the coldest weather, and the people almost freeze. And they come back again. And the prophet says, we're out of the will of God. Tomorrow there'll be an earthquake. And the ministers start to get scared. And they said, did the Lord say there's going to be an earthquake? Brother says, no, I'm just saying, we're out of the will of God. Things aren't going to go well. So now they ask the prophet, go and pray. Maybe God, he has a permissive will. Maybe God will permit it. And the prophet says, I went and I knelt down. And now, Brother Bam had someone with him in the vision. You know who that was? It was Billy Paul. Billy Paul said to him, says, Dad, don't you listen to these ministers. You do what God told you to do. Even if you have to hitchhike all the way back to America, you do with what God told you to do. And Brother Bam says, Paul, come pray with me. And they start to pray. And he says, after a few minutes, Billy Paul fell asleep. Abraham says, I prayed until 4 o'clock in the morning. He says, and the angel of the Lord came. And I said, Lord, who are these men? And the angel said, you can go with them, but you're going to pay. You're going to suffer. And the prophet came back and he told them. He says, I'll go. I'm willing to bear the whipping. That's what the prophet says, if you want. And the brother said, wonderful. And they went off on the itinerary. And by the time they got now to Cape Town, he says, I said, thus saith the Lord, God has told me I can go, but I'll pay for it. And our meetings will not be like they should be. But if you are determined, I'm willing to take this. Whatever the whipping is to come, but we shouldn't do it. And they said, let's go. And the prophet got himself caught in a trap that he couldn't get himself out of. And they got around to these different places, got to Cape Town. The prophet says, I got sick and started getting sicker. And by the time I got to Durban, about 2 weeks later, I was really sick. I couldn't even hold my head up. And then they took him up, flew him up to Salisbury. Just the time when the meetings were getting good in Durban. They take him straight away from there. It was just incredible. You know the story, but just to save time, we'll skip. And the prophet now eventually gets home, goes to be checked. He's got amoebic dysentery. He's got these parasites in him. And Dr. Sam Adair, when he studies him, says, I've never seen it as bad, and sends him off to a specialist. And the specialist puts him on this arsenic or whatever it was, this drug, and his skin goes all orange. And he has to be quarantined for 6 weeks. And the prophet says, I was in there. He says, I just barely lived to get home. And I went to the doctor and he said, it's the worst case I ever saw in my life. He put me in a place and he gave me 60 days treatment. God just turned his back on me and said, go ahead, take it. You wanted it. Friends, those are nice experiences. Yes. But those are experiences you learn from.
That's right.
Those ones when you've been through those kind of things, you say, but Lord, yay, never again. Never again, Lord. No matter what it is, never again. I said, oh Lord, help me. And he just let me go ahead and holler. And I just cried and I begged and everything else. Didn't do no good. Months passed, just the same. Never let up at all. Yet the doctors gave me everything that they had. Until finally it came to the place the doctor said, Brother Branham, you're a married man with young children. If I were you, go and set your things in order. Because medical science has done all that it can. Anytime now you can strike a fever, gets in your bloodstream within 8 or 10 hours, whatever, you'll be dead. Hey, and brother says, I cried. I thought of Joseph, just a young boy, whatever it was. I thought of my children. I don't think he was born yet, but he thought of my children. And then finally, the angel of the Lord came down. And down came the vision again. I'm going to finish with this thought, but let me just show you how easy it is to make a mistake. The angel of the Lord comes down in the room. And the prophet at first, he was scared, and he says, has my Lord come to take my life? Because he thought maybe the Lord is going to judge him. Or have you come with mercy? And the angel now came and took those pages. We know how it was. I don't have any pages here, but took these, like pages that had been written on some on the floor, but took pages and threw them up in the sky, and they went up like a pathway, pure white. And the angel said, your future is clear. Ah. And the prophet, he rejoiced. He says, the Lord is he's leading me once again. He says, and then he took me up and he took me to a place, and I saw the Durban meeting fading off into time. He says, and then I was in South Africa, and there were white people, and there were different races of people, and I saw the people rejoicing. He says, and then that meeting passed off into time. And then he took me to the east, and he showed me this place, these dark people. He said it was India. And there were so many people right to the mountain. It was just packed with people to the hills. And an angel came down with like a light and shone that light on the people. And the voice says, there's 500,000 in that Branham meeting. You see, there was a vision. Now this is another vision the brothers were hitting about the prophet and saying it was never fulfilled. That's what I wanted to show you. So the prophet, he comes out of that. He rejoices so much. But the Lord has showed him, you go to South Africa because you were out of the vision when you were there. Go to South Africa, then you go to India. Now listen how the prophet explains it. In India Trip Report 1957, he says, I've been very much constrained to go to India. You go and see, read the different quotes about India in the 1955, 56, 57. The prophet knows he's got to go to India. He's got to have this great meeting. He says, yet, as many of you might know, the Indian trip wasn't the success it should have been because I failed to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I never recognized it. He told me in a vision to go to Africa first and then to India. Then in Hebrews series, chapter 7, when he preaches, says, God told Abraham to separate yourself. And just as human as Abraham was, he took his daddy along. He took his brother's son along. And God never did bless him until he did what God told him to do. And then he says the same thing. I don't say you're not a Christian. I don't unchristianize anything. But I'll say this. If God told you to do something, he'll never bless you until you do it. Amen. Listen now, as we close. I'm in the pulpit tonight with one of those things holding over me. This is 1957. My meetings hasn't been what they should be for the past 2 years. It's because I failed the Lord. He told me, go to Africa and then to India. Here it is written right here in the back of the book right now. But the manager called me, Brother Baxter. Yeah, Brother Bram could have just learned that I don't really need Brother Baxter as my manager because this man doesn't get in the vision very easily. But Brother Baxter was still his manager arranging the meetings. He says, the manager called me and said, let them Afrikaans go. Hey, don't go to South Africa. They're not ready. India is ready. And the Holy Spirit met me and said, you'll go to Africa like I told you. Amen. And another year passed. I forgot about it. And the manager said, we're going to India. The tickets is already here. And I started off, and I forgot until I got to Lisbon, Portugal. And one night, I got so sick, I thought I was dying. The next morning, I started to go over to the bathroom. Oh, I was so sick, I could hardly stand up. And that light hung there in the bathroom and said, I thought I told you go to Africa first. Friends, can you see how Abraham was the same? It took a while for him to line up and get in harmony with what God really had for his life. He would allow other people to influence him, take people along that weren't helping him in the vision. And the Lord had to teach him some painful lessons, allow him to go through different things to bring him to that place of harmony. The prophet says, my meetings has been slowly failing since that time. Though I went to India with nearly 500,000 standing there, but it wasn't doing what God said do. I feel that my meetings will never be a success until I go right straight back and make that thing right. And then he tried to go to South Africa and they wouldn't let him. And then he went to South Africa and they stamped and said, you can't preach. You see how complicated we can make things. Though God had this great purpose and this great vision and this great plan. But the prophet, because he listened to Brother Baxter again, he got himself in trouble with the Lord. Just to finish off. But eventually, 1962, the prophet preaches present stage of the ministry. All men have forsaken me. All doors have been closed. Now he's not listening to the people anymore. He's not worrying about what the people say or what people do. All the denominations have closed their doors and so forth. And then the Lord comes down and shows him a vision. And in the vision, he tells him, go west. Go to Tucson. And the prophet leaves all that is dear to him. He says, the Lord came and told me, I can never bless you until you separate yourself from these people. Because to walk with me, you have to walk alone. Amen. And the prophet now, 62, he's learned. And then he sees the vision of the stake, remember, in his driveway. And the voice says, when you see this, go westward. Amen. And the prophet coming back from the meetings Wednesday, he sees the stake. And the council, they're going to cut down, break his wall and extend the road, bring the road through there. And the prophet goes straight and says, Meedy, get the things ready. We have to go west. And I think he sends Brother Norman. He says, go and find us a place to stay. And the prophet separates himself in full obedience. Amen. Goes and lives in Tucson, the backside of the desert. Separates himself from all that he loves to be fully in one accord with that vision. Amen. Then the Lord shows him another vision. And in this vision, he's northeast of Tucson. He's picking a cockle burr off his trousers. And here come seven angels. And they pick him up. And he's given his final commission, his second climax. But now the prophet's learned, friends, like Abraham learned through the things that he went through. And this time, when it's his greatest vision, this is the real purpose of his ministry, the prophet is in exactly the right place, at exactly the right time, with exactly the right people. Amen. And the angels come and they catch him, give him the sword, send him back to open up those seven seals. Can you see the things he had to go through first, though, friends? Is it not going to be the same with us? All I can say is, we're not what we ought to be. We're not what we want to be, but I'm glad we're not what we used to be.
Amen.
I'm glad some of the things that might be painful, but they teach us very good lessons, friends. They give you such a desire in your soul to be in perfect harmony with him once again. That you say, Lord, it doesn't matter the cost. It doesn't matter what it is. I just want that perfect harmony with you once again. And I'm sure that you're the same as me. And the prophet, he finishes off and he says in Church Ages, he says, notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by his Father. John 5 verse 19. This harmony is now to exist between his groom, the groom and his bride. And friends, that's all we have to worry about. Whether we never get a good education, whether we do, that's okay. Whether we never have so much money or we do, that's okay. Whether we never have such big jobs that the world loves us, that's okay. Whether our names are never known and our reputations never go far and wide, that's okay. As long as we fulfill this requirement, this commission, that this harmony that Jesus had with his Father, that he did nothing until he first saw his Father do it, that we can have that harmony in our souls. And friends, I say that's the thing we need to seek. That's the thing we need to seek with all our hearts. Let anything else be added to us. Every gift God wants to give us, every ministry he wants to give us, we appreciate them all. But without that harmony individually in our souls between us and him, friends, we're fighting a losing battle. We'll never get there. But God has ordained us unto that. And all of these lessons we've gone through, the prophet says, let them be stepping stones. Don't let them be stumbling blocks. Let these be stepping stones like they were for Abraham, like they were for Brother Branham, that we may learn the lessons that we need. That each and every one of these things that we're going through, that it may just move us and lead us to that place on the altar. that we lay ourselves down there and just surrender it all. And we come into perfect harmony with him. And I'm sure that's your desire as well. Let's stand. Let's sing one song and then we'll close, saints. I know I took a little bit longer there. But I just wanted to show that principle, because to me I think it's such an important principle. Amen. Is may the Lord unfold and progress. And if we're just willing and will yield and learn from the things, even the mistakes we make and the things that we go through, he'll bring us into that perfect harmony. And if I'm in harmony with him, and you in harmony with him, friends, we're going to be in harmony with one another. And may the Lord grant it. Do you have a song? It's okay, right? It's good. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Amen.
Jesus, oh, what bliss that one so weak as I should ever have a friend like this to lead me to the star. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. A friend when other friendship sees. A friend when others fail. A friend who gives me joy and peace. A friend who will prevail. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. A friend to lead me in the dark. A friend who knows the way. A friend to steer my big frail bark. A friend my debts to pay. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. A friend when sickness lies me low. A friend when death draws near. A friend as true the valley I call, a friend to help and cheer. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. A friend when life's royal is over. A friend when death is past. A friend to greet on heaven's shore. A friend when hope at last. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine.
I look in the Bible at a time when I think somebody had the sweetest communion was, I believe, when Abraham and Isaac came walking down the mountain that day. Ha! You know what it's like when the Lord's taken you through something and you overcome. There's such a fellowship. There's such a presence. There's such a communion. Oh, friends, don't you long for that once again? May the Lord bring it. Let's sing one more song, brothers, if you don't mind. And then we'll ask Brother Vlad if he can close for us in a word of prayer.
And Omega, we worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. They worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Let's bow our heads, Brother Vlad.
Heavenly Father,
yes, Lord.
We just sang the song, and the song says, you are Alpha and Omega.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we know you are Alpha and Omega.
Yes, Lord.
But like we heard your word, Lord, we want to just put ourselves in line.
Amen.
That you will be Alpha and Omega in our lives.
Amen. Yes,
not
Lord.
Just that we will be singing, you are Alpha and Omega.
Amen.
But Lord, help us,
yes,
to understand. When you speak to us, O Lord, help Amen. Us to follow. Lord, help.
Amen.
Just make our hearts and everything in us willing to follow your
Amen.
Voice, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
O Lord, we see that we are many times entangled with many things.
Amen.
O
yes,
Lord, help us when your voice speaks just
Amen.
To follow.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what will come on our way.
Yes,
O Lord,
yes,
help
Lord.
Us
yes, Lord.
To follow vision in our lives.
Amen.
Help us, O Lord.
Yes.
Just may your spirit quicken us something
Amen.
That we can follow,
yes,
O Lord.
Lord.
Doesn't
yes,
matter
Lord.
What will come, O Lord.
Amen.
Help us. Make us willing, O Lord,
yes,
to
Lord,
do what
yes,
you
Lord.
Want,
yes,
O Lord.
Lord.
We want to just ask your blessing
yes,
for
Lord.
In our lives.
Amen.
That you can help us, O Lord.
Please, Lord.
Bless our pastor, bless
Please,
ministers, bless
Amen.
Deacons, bless
yes, Lord, yes,
whatever
Lord.
Is, O Lord, here,
Amen.
O Lord.
Yes, Lord yes,
just
Lord.
We want to put into your hands because we know
Amen.
That when you bless things, is blessed.
Amen.
When we saw even through preaching of the word, the
yes,
Lord,
Lord,
you blessed Brother Abraham with those gifts and
Amen.
All those things,
yes.
but he had to follow your will.
Amen.
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Help us, Lord, now. We want to
Please,
just
Lord.
Commit ourselves into your hands.
Yes, Lord.
When we depart from this place, O
Amen.
Lord, like David says, you spoke once, but I heard twice.
Amen.
May that your voice will be speaking to
yes,
us,
Lord.
Talking to us, speaking
yes,
just,
Lord.
O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Help
yes,
us, Lord.
Lord,
follow your voice.
Amen.
We commit our families and what we have into
Amen.
Your hands
yes,
as well.
Lord.
Help us, O Lord. We have petitions, O Lord.
Please,
whatever
Lord.
Is need, O fulfill.
Amen. please, Lord.
You know the best, O Lord,
Amen.
Because your word says that what we need, you will give us.
Yes, Lord.
May thy your will be done in
Amen.
Our lives. We yes, commit Lord. Ourselves when we depart from this place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's just keep Brother Maxwell in prayer. I think he's coming 23rd, brother, yeah? He's coming next week back from Italy. Let's keep him in prayer. Let's also pray for Saturday meeting. No meeting Friday. Saturday, 6 o'clock. The meeting with Brother Brian Kasurik from America. Please keep that in prayer as well. And also Brother Jose back on the weekend. Let's keep him in prayer. God bless you richly.
I love him. I love him because he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation. Because he first loved me, and he purchased my soul.